At the Crossroads is a collection of sermons preached at Crossroads Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. The following sermon was given by Pastor Aaron Smith on Sunday evening, January 28th, 2018.
Amen. Go take your Bibles, look with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. On purpose, I did not try to give you two or three chapters tonight. I want to be brief as we look at Jeremiah chapter 32. We'll begin reading tonight in the first verse, and we'll read down through verse number 7. The Bible says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, 'Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper.' And Jeremiah said, 'The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanameel, the son of Shalulam, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Ananoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it.'" Now, last week we explored a little bit about this, but I want to go back to Jeremiah chapter 32 and give some a little bit more background and a little bit more attention to these few verses that we find in Jeremiah 32. So let's pray together and we'll get started. Father, we thank you so very much for how you move and work in our lives. We do thank you for the testimonies that have been given this evening and how we can just rejoice in the areas that you bless us in and that we can share with others. We also thank you for the prayer requests that have been given for Miss Elnora and Miss Peggy Hobbs. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to give Brother Clarence the strength and the clarity of mind as he cares for Elnora. And Father, that you would just allow her to have good days. And may she be strengthened as well. And we think of Peggy as she is having the issues with her kidneys. God, that you would just intervene here on her behalf, if that's your will. But Father, for the most part, that you would just give your will and make it clear, and that your peace that passeth all understanding can keep their minds and hearts stayed upon thee. And so tonight, as we do look at this passage of Scripture from your Word, as briefly as we can, Father, would you use it in our lives? Would you use it in such a way that we could draw closer to you? And may we know you better. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So here in Jeremiah 32, we find Jeremiah bringing again another message. The first message we find in the first five verses that God gave to Jeremiah considering the fate of Zedekiah. And then the second message that God gives to Jeremiah is to read the doom of the prince and the people as they have played fast and loose with the hand of God. They wanted their own way. And if we were to, if we were going to call names for the children of Israel, we would probably have to describe them as spoiled brats. Just plain and simple. They wanted their way, they wanted it how they wanted it, and they didn't want it any other way. They weren't concerned about how God wanted things. They were only concerned about their own way. But first, let's take a look here in verse number 1, and let's look at the timing of this first message. Now, the Bible says, of course, that the word came from to Jeremiah from the Lord. It was in the 10th year of Zedekiah, as he was king of Judah, and it was in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon. Now, the timing here we find in verse number 2 is in the midst of battle. In the midst of battle. For the Bible says that the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. And so he, of course, was shut up because in verse 3, because of the message itself. And so we see the time of the message. The battle is coming. The battle is raging. And Jeremiah is giving this message that the king of Babylon, as he fought against Jerusalem, and Zedekiah's heart, I want you to understand this, was hardened. And his heart was hardened to his own destruction. And I would say that if we are going to look at this passage, and if we're going to understand the hardening of the heart, the hardening of the heart always comes when we refuse to do God's will. The hardening of the heart always comes when we decide that we're going to do what we want to do versus what God wants us to do. Zedekiah had a way out. Zedekiah had a way that God would release him from the impending doom upon his life and upon the people's lives that he served as king of Judah. And it was simple, as Jeremiah had preached time and time and time again, that if they would just call upon the name of the Lord and repent of their behavior, that God would hear from heaven and release them from the coming judgment. But again, Zedekiah allowed his heart to get hardened. Now the message itself, we see that Zedekiah, of course, asking in form of a question, he gives the message that Jeremiah had given to him from God. And the first thing that we see here, he says, "Why for, or wherefore, dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord?" Now, that let's look at that question right there first off. Why are you saying, thus saith the Lord? Now, one of the reasons why Zedekiah, I think, would ask that question is because he did not feel that the message that Jeremiah had given him was from the Lord. Otherwise, why would he say, why are you saying, thus saith the Lord? But the fact of the matter is this, it was from the Lord, but Zedekiah, of course, wants to know. And he says, and after that, "Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and he shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper." So we find this message that Jeremiah is giving deals with the captivity of Zedekiah. And in this captivity, it's going to happen by the hands of the king of Babylon. The Chaldean people, they're fighting, and they're going to come. And the Bible says in verse number 4 that Jeremiah told Zedekiah, "Thou shalt not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans." And not only are you not going to escape, but you're going to face the king of Babylon face to face. It says mouth to mouth, and I and your eyes shall behold his eyes. He said, you're going to look upon the king of Babylon face to face, and you're going to realize in that moment that you are in captivity. And in this captivity, he said, that there he shall be until I visit him, saith the Lord. He says, the message said, you're going to be in captivity until I visit him. This would kind of indicate that while he would fall under the hands of the king of Babylon, he would live in captivity, but it almost indicates that he would die in peace. Zedekiah did not have the promise that he was going to return back to Judah, but that God would visit him. And here it says, though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Now, can you imagine this message? Can you imagine getting this message from someone? I mean, how depressing is it? Now, again, we've already established that more than likely, Zedekiah did not think that this message was from God. But here in just a little while, Zedekiah is going to understand that this message wasn't just from Jeremiah. It wasn't just something that Jeremiah dreamed up one night. This was truly a message from God. And so we see the message itself. We see the timing of the message. But number three, I want you to see here Jeremiah's faithfulness to deliver the message. I'm convinced that Jeremiah knew that this message would not be received well. You say, Pastor, what would bring you to that conclusion that this message would not be received well? Well, here's the reason. Jeremiah had been preaching for years. And not one of his messages touched the heart of the people of Judah. And not one of his messages touched the heart of the people of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, it made people angry at him. As a matter of fact, this was not the first time Jeremiah was in prison for what he preached. And so I think he kind of knew it wouldn't be received well. I think he knew that it was dangerous to speak against the king. Now we're not talking about just any man in Judah. We're talking about King Zedekiah. And in this day and time, really even in our day and time, you don't have the privilege as a common citizen to just go to the king. Now for us, it would be the president. I mean, you want a fast way to arrest? Go approach the president just out of the blue. I don't know that you would get within 100 yards, more than likely. But just go and approach him and say, hey, I want to talk to you. No. One, most of the time you have to be invited. I mean, you could even try to schedule a meeting. But it's probably not going to be entertained. And so here's Jeremiah giving this message faithfully. Even though he knew it was dangerous. Even though he knew that it was something that could cost him his life. Yet, he gave the message. Now, I wanted to bring our attention to this passage this evening because, one, I intended to be brief. Two, I want to focus on the message. Now, we too have a message. We've talked about it in recent weeks. Our message is the message of the gospel. Now, within our message of the gospel, I would like to think, and I do think, that the message of the gospel is one of hope. The message of the gospel is one of peace. The message of the gospel is one of everlasting life. But do you realize that if we are going to proclaim the message of the gospel and the hope that it brings and the peace that it brings, that we also have to present the other side of the message of the gospel. And that has to do with the rejection of the gospel. I have never in my entire life have I ever taken pleasure in talking to someone and telling them that if they die without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they will spend an eternity in hell. I've never taken any pleasure in that. And I would dare say if anyone has ever taken pleasure in telling someone that they'll spend eternity in hell, their heart is probably as hard as the day is long. It's not a light matter. It's not a light subject. But yet, it's part of the message that we have of the gospel. And so I can see, while we have this message, we know this message, we know that without Christ, people will die and go to hell. And yet, deep down inside, I think it's really one of those things that we would just rather not have to discuss with someone. Again, bringing somebody to reality of their condition of their life without Christ, it can be a fearful thing. Sometimes I wonder, how will they take this? And I would say too, and I know we talk about sharing the gospel with our loved ones, and I think we should. I think if they're going to listen to anybody, it's probably going to be somebody that loves them versus a stranger. But I think one of the greatest fears we have in speaking to a loved one about their eternal life and their eternal salvation and the fact that if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, that they would die and spend an eternity in hell is because of the way that they might react. And I want to submit to you tonight that as Jeremiah faithfully delivered this message, he knew it was dangerous. He knew that it might cost him something. But yet he was faithful to give it. He was faithful to give it. Why? Why was he faithful to deliver this message? Because God gave it to him. Because God gave him the message. And we need to realize that in our lives as Christians, God has given us a message. God has given us a task. And we too ought to take it with the same weight that Jeremiah took the message that God gave him. That we must deliver it. Not only that we must deliver it, but we must deliver it in the way that God intended it to be delivered. Not to oversimplify it, not to make it too complicated, but that we may give it exactly how God has given it to us in His Word. Zedekiah, Jeremiah, why did you say, "Thus saith the Lord," and tell me that God's going to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon? And that me, the king, would not escape out of the hands of the Chaldeans, and that I would have to face the king of Babylon and speak with him mouth to mouth and eye to eye, and that I would be left in captivity in Babylon. Why would you say that? Why would you tell me that? Why would you tell me that even though I fight with the Chaldeans, that I'm not going to prosper? Why would you tell me that, Jeremiah? Now, we don't have a response from Jeremiah here in verse 5. And in verse 6, it transpires over to the next message. But I would think that Jeremiah's answer, if I can make a supposition here, that Jeremiah's answer would be very simple. Because thus saith the Lord. Why would I tell you, thus saith the Lord? Because He said it. and he gave it to me to deliver to you. Now look, I understand that from time to time we will deliver a message that someone didn't really give. We used to do it as children. My sister wanted me to do something, and so she knew if she told me that Dad said, and then you fill in the blank. I then had to take a gamble. Did Dad say it, or did he not? Now, I probably should have been a much smarter kid than I was, but I don't know if I just like to risk my life or not. But I would say, no, he didn't. If he wanted me to know that, he would have told me. And then I would say, more times than not, my dad would come in, and my dad could have some rage and some fury when you didn't do what you were told to do. I don't know if any of other dads were that way or not, but mine was. And he would fly off the handle. I said I wanted this done, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And I would just, you know, freeze. And then I would accept the punishment and what came along with it. But I never thought, oh, my sister was telling the truth. But it was a risk I took. And I understand that when we give the message and we let folks know that it's from God, some of them are going to take the gamble and take the risk that God didn't really say what God said. But it shouldn't be on us to try to suppose of what their reaction might be or could be. We as Christians, we as servants of God. Remember, part of our service is simply obeying God. And in our obedience, may we be faithful to give the message of the gospel. Yes, it may cost a relationship, but I would like to think that that relationship with that individual, whoever you may be speaking with, would be worth them spending an eternity in heaven versus spending an eternity in hell. May we be faithful. Oh, we have a message. We have a message we must deliver.
Thank you for listening to this sermon on At the Crossroads. We hope it was a blessing and encouragement. Please contact us with any questions or comments. Send email to pastor@crossroadsbaptistmobile.com or call us at 251-639-9500.